All right, our reading will begin in Matthew chapter 1, starting at verse number 18. Please follow along as I am reading from the New Revised Standard Version, and it reads, "Now the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they had lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.' All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet: 'Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel,' which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but he had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son. And he named him Jesus." Amen. Amen. I want you to turn to your neighbor, grab your neighbor by the hand, look your neighbor square in the eye. I know the eyes are oval, but look at them square in the eye. Which in essence we're saying, look directly. And say, "Neighbor, the Lord is with me." "Neighbor, the Lord is with you." Amen. We have entitled our message this morning, "The Lord is with me." Now, before we can talk about the Lord being with us, before you can share that the Lord is with us with others, you yourself must know that the Lord first and foremost is with who? Me. You see, and as we look at this particular story in Matthew, I want you to know this story is also in Luke with a little bit more details behind it. But as we look here at Matthew, there are some keys that we have to grab a hold of. And as we grab a hold of these keys, one of the things I want you to know first and foremost is that the Lord's hand was working. You know, and now I don't ever want us to forget that the Lord's hand is always moving and working and touching folk and making ways and doing what is called or what we consider to be the impossible. Right. You see, but when we look at the story, we are told that Mary is the mother of Jesus. As we look at the story, we're also told that Mary was a virgin. When we look at the story, we're also told that Mary was impregnated by the Holy Spirit. Now, all that's cool, but the reality is that Mary Deacon Jones was, as King James says, betrothed, which in essence means she had a husband. And if she got a husband, and the thing is, the way the Jewish law was is that the engagement happened pretty much, you know, it was arranged marriages back then. You see, Deacon Elwood had a daughter, Brother Jackson had a son. They too would hook up and say, "Well, I think he a cool dude. So they agree while the kids are young that when they get older, they will get married. But that was called the engagement process. So when they got old enough, if the girl was all right with marrying the boy and the boy was all right with marrying the girl, then the engagement was transitioned into a betrothal. And that means that they were betrothed for exactly a year. And as they were betrothed, Elwood's daughter stayed with him. Brother Jackson's son stayed with him. They did not ever share or have marital relations until a year later when they actually had the public ceremony. But at that time, they were under a contractual agreement that they were to be married. You get all that, right? So in this story, what you have is Mary, who had already agreed to marry Joseph, but she wasn't living with Joseph, but she ends up pregnant. Are you following me now? So I just had to give it in today's vernacular so that we could go on and grab a hold of the story. Because we know about some folk that have been engaged and they called engagements off. And I don't know if she gave them the ring back, but they might have called engagements off. I digress. Work with me. Come on. Y'all were getting a little too serious. I had to throw something out there real quick. Okay, but go with me. Can you ready to go on this journey with me? As we go on this journey, we're seeing this, and if you want to see the story and all the details, go to Luke. You'll see it in Luke. But what has happened is this. It just shows us, Sister Davis, yes, that God is the creator of all things. Yes. So since God is the creator of all things, don't you know God can do what he wants, when he wants, and how he wants? Yes. God had chose this young lady. Why did he choose her? I don't know. But the one thing that we do know is that she must have been a good-hearted young lady. And we know that she was a virgin. So from that, God was going to have his son, the seed of his son, put inside something which was pure, something which was untainted. And this is where Jesus was housed for 9 months. Now, could you just imagine that Mary is walking around with the one who saves the entire world inside her womb? Mary has inside of her the one that has all power in his hands. Mary has inside of her the one who is going to take away the sin of the world. And when you think about all that, I want you to understand something, brothers. The women knew before we did. And in this situation, she knew before anybody else. So it ain't like we all got in a bag of chips and, yeah, that's right, two sodas and a shake on the side. She was chosen. And once she was chosen, now here comes the dilemma. How in the world do I tell Joseph that I'm pregnant? He ain't the father. Well, he know he ain't the father. But he's trying to figure out who is. And how do I tell him and get him to understand that this is the work of God through the Holy Spirit? The Lord is moved in my life. You know all she could do? Just tell him. And once she told him, guess what? It wasn't left up to her. It was in God's hands. She didn't ask God to impregnate her. She didn't ask to be chosen for what she was doing. God did the choosing. And if God does the choosing, that means God will take care of everything else. Why? Because the Lord is with us. You see, Mary understood that the Lord was with her. And since the Lord was with her, the Lord was going to have to fix it. Because she knew on her own she could not what? Now, if she understood that, then why do we struggle right now trying to fix stuff we can't fix? Why do we try to get ahead of God? Why do we think that if it's a problem, we always the one that have to step in and fix it? Don't you realize that there's some stuff that you ain't supposed to mess with? You're supposed to just pray about. You continue to walk in faith and let the Lord be who he is. And that's God all by himself. You want to see a situation turn around? Put it in God's hands. Watch and see how the Lord will fix it. Watch and see how the Lord will bring it to pass. Do I got a witness in God's house? When you know how good our God is. And you know why you can do that? Because the Lord is with me. You know, you might have some struggles with what's going on. You might have some stuff that's happening in your life. But you've got to continue to trust God because you know that the Lord is what? With me. And since the Lord is with me, I know that the Lord will bring me through. I know that the Lord's going to bless me in this process. I know that the Lord has something that he wants me to learn from this. And through all of this, I'm going to continue to give him the glory, the honor, and the praise, because I recognize that I wouldn't be where I am right now unless the Lord has blessed me. And now that the Lord has blessed me, I'm going to continue to thank him. I'm going to continue to praise him because he has been mighty good to me. No matter how rough the storms are raging, no matter how much the water is rising, I'm going to say hallelujah anyhow, because I know for a fact that the Lord is with. So as we look at this and as we understand this, the one thing that we got to grab here is that Mary had to tell Joseph. And you know what happened? When Mary told Joseph, it tells us that he also was a good brother. Because can I be real with you? Deacon Alex, I don't know how you would have responded to something like that. I don't know how I would have responded to something like that. I don't know if I don't know if I could have been as gracious as he was. Can we just be real this morning? I know we're holy now. I understand all that. But I don't know if I could be as gracious as he was. Chester laughing so he understand what I'm talking about. Here. Y'all pray for Chester. But here we see. Can I paint this picture for you? You know, I believe if I can add some stuff to the narrative, I can't substantiate it. I'm just using some imagination. Is that all right? I would think that Joseph would make it a point to come and see Mary at least 3 days or 4 days during the week. And then on the day that he would go to the temple, after he came from the temple on the Sabbath, I could see the first place he went. Sister Arnetta was over there to go see Mary. Sit there and eat that Sabbath dinner with Mary and her family. You know, because he was so excited. The brother was counting the days. He was like, okay, 365, 364, 330, 225. Oh, I'm getting close. Here come 100 days, 50 days away. But then Mary says, Joseph, baby, I got something to tell you. I can see Joseph smile and say, what is it, baby? Joseph, you need to sit down. Oh, no, I'm okay, baby. I'm just so excited to see you. I can't sit. She said, I think you want to sit down for this one, if you insist. So he sits down. Again, don't go look this up. This is my narrative, okay? And then she takes her hand and she touches his cheek. And she says, baby, I'm pregnant. And I've been impregnated by the Holy Spirit. I can see Joseph look at her. His eyes start to well up with some water. And he's saying to himself, I was just 50 days away. I said, don't go look this up. This is my narrative of the story, just so that we can grasp the concept here. So once this happens, I can see Joseph grab Mary's hand that was touching his cheek. Politely just took it off. He stood up. He turned and he says to Mary, I'm not going to disgrace you because I love you. Because if I disgrace you and it comes out that you're pregnant and you're betrothed to me and I'm not the father, the Jews will take you and stone you to death because you have committed the act of adultery. But I love you too much to let this happen to you. So I'm going to love you from a distance. I'm going to quietly break our marital contract. And I'm going to dismiss you quietly. And if anybody comes and asks me, I'm not going to tell them why. We had irreconcilable differences. I was about to mess that all up. And that's all I'm going to say to folk. And I can see him go over to Mary, and as she begins to cry, he hugs her. I love you, Mary, but I'll see you later. Then he goes home, and I can see Mary as he walks out the door crying and saying, Lord, if you're with me, how did you let this happen like this? I didn't ask for none of this. You chose me. And I had to share it with him. Now I'm going to be a disgrace. But I can see the Lord comforting her. You know, the beauty there is this. The Lord is comforting her on the outside. And he's comforting her on the inside. Because she has the power that has shaped the universe inside of her, comforting her on the inside. And then I see Joseph go home. And as he's going home and his parents look at him, like, hey, baby, how you doing? How's Mary? She cool. You know, they didn't say cool back then, but you're working with me, right? She cool. And he went to his room that night, contemplating how he was going to reach out to the lawyers, Reverend Rhodes, the next day to write up the contract to basically break this marriage. And then, with all this stuff racing through his mind, then Joseph goes to sleep. And once Joseph has gone to sleep, Brother Freeman, that's the time when God can speak to him. You see, because while he was awake, his mind was going in so many different directions. I wonder if it was that dude over there. I wonder if it was that dude over there. I wonder if it was him. I wonder who it was. I went over there 4 days a week. I came after the Sabbath. When did this person sneak up on this?
All right.
Are y'all working with me? And with all this going on, God is just trying to tell him, Joseph, but he can't hear anything. There's too much noise. So the Lord says, I'll get him. I'll get him when he is resting. And while he was asleep, and once he went to sleep, the Lord sent an angel, dispatched an angel to share with him. Like, everything is all right, bro. Girlfriend didn't lie to you. She told you the truth. She was impregnated by the Holy Spirit. And I want you to know, I want you to raise him as your own child. And as you raise him, you're going to mean, but when he's born, you ought to name him Jesus. Because he is to save the people from their sins. And the name Jesus means Jehovah is salvation. And Jesus is our salvation. And then he goes on to tell him, I want you to understand something. He is Emmanuel because God is with us. And since God is with us and with you, bro, I want you to know, don't you dare fret about what you're about to do. When you wake up, I want you to know everything is all right because God is in control. And since God is in control, don't you worry about nothing else. And when that brother woke up that next morning, I want you know what he got up and said? It's 49 days. And he runs over to Mary's house. He starts knocking on the door, banging on the door, talking about Mary, Mary. And as she's coming to the door, she's got some tears in her eye. But when she looks at him, the brother got a glow about him. And then she realizes that the Lord is with him too. And the Lord then showed him something. He said, Mary, everything is going to be all right. I ain't going nowhere. The Lord has showed me the truth, and the truth is what has set me free. And who the Son sets free is free indeed. And I know what I'm getting ready to do. And I want you to know at that point, everything out there. Now he said, oh, you're pregnant? Now I got to add 9 more months. Here we go. I got to count down again. But you know what, y'all? He was rejoicing. You know why? Because you know why he was rejoicing? And this is the one thing I want all the people of God to understand. God is choosing you. God has called you. And he chose you to do something specifically. And you know what? He could have used anybody else. But what did he do? He stopped, looked at you, pulled you out. And then you start wondering, Lord, me? You sure about me? And the Lord said, I don't make no mistakes. And since we are seeing what has happened here, I can see Joseph, he is so moved and in awe that God has chosen me to watch over the Savior of the world. He could have chose anybody else, but he chose me. And I know since he chose me that the Lord is going to be with me. So no matter where I go and what I do, the Lord is with me. You see, my brothers and my sisters, when the Lord calls you out, he's calling you out for a purpose. And what I want you to know is that you are never alone. Look at your neighbor right now and say, neighbor, you ain't by yourself. You see, my brothers and my sisters, I know it's going to get rough sometimes, but you got to remind yourself, I ain't by myself. I got the Lord with me. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is there with me every step of the way. Do I got a witness in God's house? Anybody know what I'm talking about? We need to remind ourselves, the Lord is with us every step of the way. He ain't never going to turn his back on us. He ain't never going to throw in the towel on us. He going to be there with us through thick and through thin. Even when we mess up, he's still there with us. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. Somebody ought to say thank you. When we think about who the Lord is, when we think about what he's brought us through, when we think about how he's moving in our lives right now, I'm here to tell you, sometimes the road gonna get rough. Sometimes the path appears to be a little dark. Sometimes it seems like some folk done turned their back on you, David. Sometimes it feels like the Lord ain't there. But he ain't ever go nowhere. I am always moved whenever I read the poem about the footprints in the sand. You know what's so awesome about that story? Is that when the man looks back and he sees two sets of prints, footprints, he knows the Lord was with him step by step. But then there were times where he only saw one set of footprints. And that's when he said, Lord, why did you leave me? The Lord said, I ain't ever leave you. What happened was you got too weak to take another step. So I had to carry you for a little while until you got your strength back. You see, that's the kind of God we serve. He ain't ever going to leave us. He is always with us. He's blessing us from 1 second to the next minute, to the next hour, to the next day, to the next week, to the next month, to the next year, and so on and so on. Now, what does that mean for us? Now that we know that the Lord is with us, what does it mean for us? What it means for us is that what's stopping you from doing what you're called to do? What's the excuse now? Well, I got this, I got that. Well, guess what? Who blessed you to do this and do that and have this and have that? Did you get it on your own? Well, you know, well, I am highly educated. Who blessed you with the ability to go on and get that education? Who blessed you with the ability to remember and absorb that information? So then when you had to go and take those tests to get various certifications, who's the one that blessed you and kept you in your right mind? Who's the one that blessed you with that house and the car and the clothes and the money and this and that, so on and so forth? When we recognize that it's nobody but the Lord who has been with us when we ain't had nothing but a pot of beans, and now that we got all that, a bag of chips, two sodas, and a shake on the side, the Lord is still with us. So you ought to live your life in the manner of recognizing that whenever I come up in God's house, I ain't going to wait for somebody to tell me it's time to praise the Lord. Because I know God has been good. I know that the Lord is good. I ain't going to wait for you to prime my pump. The Lord has already primed my pump. So when I come up in this place, I'm going to give him the glory, the honor, and the praise. Anybody willing to praise the Lord right now? Because you know that the Lord is with you. Go on and give him some praise. He deserves our praise. He inhabits our praise. Because the Lord is with me. Our God is just good like that. Don't sit down. We get ready to open up the doors of the church. Don't sit down. Let us all rise to our feet. I'm here to tell you today, my brother. I'm here to tell you today, my sister. Your life might feel like a living hell with all the stuff you've been dealing with all the stuff you've been going through. And you've been trying to fix it yourself because you think you are a good enough tinkerer to fix stuff. But every time you try to fix this, rather than get better, it seems like it's getting a little bit worse. I'm here to tell you, there is a tinkerer in the house.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And his name is Jesus. Yeah. So no matter how broke something is, right, Jesus can fix it.
Yeah.
No matter how big of the mess it is, Jesus can clean it.
Yeah.
So I'm here to invite you this day, my brother. I'm here to invite you this day, my sister, to come to realize and understand that there is somebody who wants to be with you every step of the way. And you know why he wants to be with you? Because he knows you better than you know yourself. And he's got something in store for you.